Our reading today is from Mark 15, 33 to 34, and then 37 to 39. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Verses 37 to 39. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this was the man of God." And then we go to Philippians 2, verse 5 to 11. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Amazing. It's great to be with you. As Stephen said, my name's Tom. I help to lead the 4 o'clock service here, and it's a great privilege to be starting this series on the cross. Now, I know that for some of you, you've been following Jesus for a long time, and you maybe, you know, you're hearing series on the cross, you're thinking, we've done that. We've been there. We want something new. We want something exciting. Let me tell you, I've been a follower of Jesus for a long time. Not as long as some of you in the room, I know that, but for quite a while. And every time I come back to the cross, I find that there is something new. There's something new to discover, something new to see. And during this series, we're going to look at three angles on the cross. It's almost like we're looking up at it as if it's there. And if you look at it from kind of different perspectives, you see different things about it. So we look at those different angles, try and understand more about what the cross is about. And maybe you're here this afternoon and you've never heard about the cross before, the cross of Jesus Christ. Well, this afternoon we're going to think a little bit about it and we're going to walk through it together, and hopefully we'll all understand more about the cross and how this one moment in history impacts our lives today. Today I want to talk about power, the power of the cross. But this is going to be a year defined by power. 2024 may be the make or break year for democracy in the world, because it's the year of elections. So 64 of the world's democracies are going to the polls. That's 4.2 billion people, or 49% of the world's population. And they're all voting to give power. Elections are all about power. Who has it? Who loses it? Who gains it? Who controls it? This afternoon, I want to tell you about the most powerful man who ever walked the earth, but who chose in the hour of his greatest need not to use that power, exchanging power for powerlessness, who allowed himself to be found guilty despite his innocence, who was executed in the most brutal way, all to enable us access to that same power. 2024 may change the political landscape of the world, but the actions of this one man 2,000 years ago have already changed the story of humanity forever. I am, of course, talking about Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, but instead made himself nothing and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. The cross is brutal yet beautiful, momentary yet eternal. It was humanity's darkest hour, yet divine love never shone brighter. It's the story of a God who wins when he loses. The cross of Jesus marks the spot where all God's plans come together. Through the cross, Jesus reconciles us to the Father, defeats the powers of evil, and reveals the glory of God. Crucifixion was the Roman Empire's most brutal form of torture. It is probably the most cruel method of execution ever practiced, for it deliberately delayed death until maximum torture had been inflicted. The victim could suffer for days before dying. It was designed to demonstrate the power of the Roman Empire over the individual. Powerless even to end their own life and the pain they were experiencing, and it was reserved for non-citizens, slaves, foreigners, and other non-people, people without agency, people without the power of the Roman Empire protecting them. It says, we have power and you don't, because you're not one of us. So be careful, or it could be you up there. This is the death that Jesus experiences. And yet, as followers of Jesus, we know that Jesus isn't powerless. We believe that he's the Son of God. We see him tempted by the devil at the beginning of his ministry to take power for himself, but he refuses. Even from the very beginning of his ministry, Jesus is choosing to follow the plan. He chose the cross. The most powerful person ever to walk the face of the earth became powerless. He subjected himself to being betrayed, tried, beaten, mocked, stripped, flogged, and nailed to a tree. We know that he asked his Father for a way out, but eventually Jesus said, not my will, but yours. In some ways, the cross is less defined by power than by power not used, by almost voluntary powerlessness. But the moment of Jesus' death is the first sign that something might be up here. Mark describes it like this: at noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Day turns to night. And in the darkness, we hear something of Jesus' true power and powerlessness in this moment. He cries, Dad, why have you left me? My wife Sophie and I live in Abingdon in a flat, and there's a family who live in the flat above us, and they have a little girl called Lily. And a few nights ago, I was in bed asleep, and I woke up to hear crying. And you know, there's that thing when kids cry, it just sort of wakes you up a little bit, particularly if you're parents. I know that it's true for parents particularly. But all I could hear was crying, and this little girl saying, I want daddy. I want daddy. I want daddy. That, I think, tells us something about the cry of Jesus on the cross. Then in verse 37, with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. God, in human form, submits himself to death. 'Tis mystery all. The immortal dies. And in that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The barrier separating man and God is torn in two. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, surely This man was the Son of God. The man in charge of the crucifixion itself, this representative of the might and the will of the Roman Empire, goes, "Oh, I get it now." Why does Jesus go through this? The purpose of the cross was to bring us into relationship with God. That's why at the moment of Jesus' death, the curtain is torn in two from top to bottom. Because through his death, the separation between us and God, it's over. That was a curtain that separated the Holy of Holies in the temple from everybody else, from the people of God. But it's torn in two. It was more like a wall than a curtain. But Jesus reconciles us to the Father. Because on the cross, he took all of our mess and our brokenness and our mistakes on himself. He chose it willingly because the price was greater than the cost. He chose it because he knew what it would achieve. He chose it because he knew that this was the plan. Jesus is fully human, but also fully God. Jesus, with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, co-planned the rescue mission to deal with the sin of the world. Jesus was fully signed up to every aspect of the mission of the cross. He was not a helpless casualty, an innocent victim, or simply collateral damage, but a willing sacrifice. There's an extraordinary painting by Holman Hunt where we see a young Jesus in the years before his ministry at the end of the day of work as a carpenter. Jesus worked as a carpenter in his youth. And he stretches. And as he does so, the shadow on the back wall of the workshop forms a cross and we can see a shelf with nails and a hammer and bits of wood. The tools of his trade in more ways than one. What Holman Hunt is trying to show us is that Jesus always knew the cross was coming. The cross is a momentary event, but it was forever in the making and it has eternal consequences. If you're a follower of Jesus, or if you choose today to follow him, you are reconciled to God the Father through the death of God the Son. We sing a song here that says, there's only one way to the Father, and this is it. It's the cross of Jesus. Only the cross has the power to reconcile us to God. What does that mean for us? In one moment, our sins were forgiven, and yet, we still mess up. So we keep coming back to the place of the cross, asking for God's help. We're going to have an opportunity to do that later when we come to communion, as we celebrate together the death of Jesus and his giving us his body and blood for our redemption, rescue, and reconciliation. As we celebrate the choice that he made when he went to the cross. The cross has the power to bring you back to God. Through the power of the cross, we are reconciled to him. But that's not all that the cross achieves. The power of the cross also defeats the power of evil. At the cross, in the very moment that he looks like he has lost, Jesus has won. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This proclamation is a sign of Jesus' victory because Jesus chose to go through the cross. His crown of thorns is exchanged for a crown of glory. The immortal dies, and yet death cannot hold him. Death is swallowed up in victory. And this is a victory that we share in as the followers of Jesus. At the cross, Jesus wins the battle over evil and death. So as followers of Jesus, we don't have to fear death either. Jesus has gone before us. He's made a way for us. That is an extraordinary thing. We don't have to fear evil or darkness. In fact, we are called as the people of God to bring light. How can we do that? Well, the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in you and me through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our identity as adopted daughters and sons of the living God comes through the cross. Our authority as followers of Jesus comes not from ourselves, but through the cross. Our power not comes not from ourselves, but from the Holy Spirit, and it flows through the cross. The power of the cross defeated the power of evil, and you have access as a follower of Jesus to that same power. So the cross reconciles us to God, defeats the power of evil, and in so doing, the glory of God is revealed. The powerful becomes powerless and yet is still exalted. What does that mean for us? This is what Paul says in Philippians 2. Jesus, in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. He lovingly chose to face crucifixion on our behalf. Eugene Peterson says that Jesus lived an obedient and selfless life and chose an obedient and selfless death. Jesus says of himself in John's gospel, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life. Our world is a world where power is seen to be everything, right? Agency, control over our destiny. We fight for power. We fight to feel significant. And yet, the most powerful man who ever lived chose to give that power up. As those who follow Jesus, we're called to get low, even when we're in positions of influence and power, to submit ourselves to the will of God, to die to ourselves and instead to live for him. We know that the power of God is made perfect in weakness. Through it, we too are glorified. Does that mean we're doormats? No. But we subject our will to the will of God. Does it mean that we don't fight against unjust power systems or systemic bias? No. But it does mean that our identity doesn't lie in our achievements and our power doesn't lie in our persuasion. This is the power of self-forgetfulness, of divine hiddenness, of following in the footsteps of Jesus, who said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and then follow me. Our identity is not in our power. Remember, ESB, not OBE, every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Our identity is not in achievement. It's in the one who has already achieved everything for us. Our identity is not in position. It's in the one who allowed himself to be nailed to a tree. Through the cross, God's glory is revealed. I grew up in an amazing Christian household, going to church with parents who loved Jesus. And at age 7, I chose to follow Jesus. I made a decision for myself. And at age 16, I burnt out. I like to think I'm an overachiever, really, to have done that young. But I love to worship. I loved to feel the pleasure of God. I love to spend time in the Spirit. But I remember being at a youth conference when I'm a teenager, and there's all this stuff going on around me. And I wasn't feeling anything. I don't know if you've ever had that feeling where it's like, you just feel like numb, and you're kind of looking around you and going like, I think I get it, but I'm not feeling it. And I remember we were worshiping, and I can't remember if I kind of imagined it myself or it just came into my mind, but I had this vision of Jesus on the cross. And as I closed my eyes in worship, I could see him there. And it hit me again, just how extraordinary the cross is. That moment of seeing Jesus there, it recentered me, it refocused me, it recalibrated my worship. All the stuff that was going on around me, ultimately, it was about a man on a tree dying for me. At moments where I've lost focus, or where life's been tough, or I've questioned what this faith thing is all about, or this cross thing is all about, I've consistently come back to that place of the cross. X marks the spot. You know, the early Christians didn't start with the cross as their symbol. There were fish, the Greek letters Alpha and Omega, an anchor, the Cairo, again, two other Greek letters, a dove, even a peacock. And I can't quite remember why there was a peacock, but the cross is the one that has endured. But without a connection to the man who died on it, the symbol itself is empty. We have to remember that today people wear crosses, but 2,000 years ago, crosses wore people, and one particular cross held Jesus. It's about the one who was crucified. Through him, we're reconciled to the Father. Evil is defeated, and the glory of God is revealed. Got something to try and help show this. This is it's a light. It's yellow. It's very sturdy. Oh, maybe not. Okay. Oh. It's covered in paint. But it's not really, in this moment, fulfilling its purpose. It's kind of not doing its job, right? That's because it has no power. You can see where I'm going here, right? In order to be plugged in, it has to have the right socket to be connected to the mains. It has to be reconciled to a source of power. Otherwise, it can't access power. It's designed to shine light into darkness, to make dark places light, but it can't do that without power. So we have to plug it in, right? Oh, there we go. We plug it in. We switch it on. Only then can it fulfill its creative purpose, and glory is revealed. Through the example of Jesus, we know what glory looks like. It's been revealed to us. Through his sacrifice, we have access to power, and we're called to use that power for the sake of the world. When we're reconciled to God through the power of the cross, we have access to the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Through access to that power, we can shine light into the darkness, defeating the power of evil. And as we live our lives in his power, the glory of God is revealed, because it makes it all worth it. He sacrificed himself so we could live our lives for him. Amen.